Why didn't I plan for this? I must have misstepped somehow if I need to rest. I must be doing something wrong. I should just be able to keep producing. Hi, I'm Alicia Michelle, Bible teacher and certified neurocoach who loves helping Christian women learn how to renew their minds using brain science and biblical truth. If you struggle with anxiety, perfectionism, worry, feeling like you're never enough, you are in the right place. I've been there and I understand how frustrating it is to know God's truth but not feel it in your heart. I created the Christian Mindset Coach podcast to teach you practical brain and biblically based mindset tools to help you step out of overwhelm and step into the confidence, the joy, the peace, and the closer walk with God that comes from a renewed mind focused on God's life-giving promises. Grab a cozy spot and let's get started. It's here. The Christian Mindset Makeover is now open. This is the popular 9-week course that equips Christian women with powerful brain science and biblically based tools to break free from negative thoughts. And I want to teach you some of the practical things we share in this course with a free workshop. I just opened up a ton of new workshop time. So go to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind to get a behind the scenes look at the Christian Mindset Makeover course and even learn some of the practicals we talk about on the course from this free workshop. Go to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind right now and sign up for the free workshop. Hey, welcome to today's episode of the Christian Mindset Coach with Alicia Michelle. Let's talk about rest. Rest. Have you ever thought, I need to rest, but it just never seems to happen? Or maybe you've had other people say, wow, you need to take a break, or you seem really stressed. And it's like, you know, you need to do it, but it just doesn't happen. It doesn't become a priority, or it just never seems to turn up on your schedule. And you just keep pursuing, keep going, keep persevering. And I want to talk about what keeps us from doing it. What is that dissonance about between we know we're supposed to, we know we should, but we don't? So before we get into that, I'm going to read a listener comment. Thank you again for sharing these. I encourage you to do that on your favorite podcast player. You just go down and on iTunes, you scroll down to the section underneath the top, I guess like 15 episodes, and it'll say rating and review. I would love it if you could give a 5-star review. That would be awesome. And then you can just share what has been impactful for you about the podcast. And again, this helps us in the algorithms. This helps other people find the podcast. And honestly, it just really encourages me. So thank you for doing that. This one is from Ambok14. She says, helpful mindset strategies. Alicia consistently provides helpful strategies to help the Christian woman renew her mind. She interviews guests on a variety of topics that speak directly to common struggles we face. I appreciate her insight and expertise as a certified neurocoach. Sweet. Yeah, I really want this to be relevant. I want this to be about common struggles that you're facing. And I love, as we've shared many times, I love the fact that we can use neuroscience and the Bible together to find healing for these issues around renewing our mind. So speaking of that, let's talk about the issues underneath rest. That's our topic for today. And understanding, you know, we can look at rest and we can talk about all kinds of ways to feel rested and to find calm and all that kind of stuff. But we have to get through this filter first that's keeping us, I should say, from actually making rest a reality. So what are the excuses around getting rest? Let's talk about it. And then I'm going to share some truth from God's word and from neuroscience that can encourage us around this topic. I'm going to share my own stories of how I've struggled with this. And then last, I have a big announcement that I can't wait to share with you. First, let's talk about something that we need to understand and hear over and over, I think, in this rush, fast-paced society. And that is, number one, rest is normal. Rest is good. Rest makes us human. And rest is a human biological need that we need to satisfy. And if we don't satisfy it, it will find ways to make us satisfy it, so to speak. If you have followed me for some time or listened to some other past episodes, you know this is part of my story in how I became a mindset coach and why I focus on these deeper issues behind why we do what we do. I have a huge story right about 5 years ago when I nearly lost my life due to a very serious lack of rest and high stress functioning, so to speak, for, gosh, at least 10 to 12 years, probably most of my life, but the 10 to 12 years before then had been the ones with the highest stress. And I was just not sleeping at all. I slept probably 4 hours a night, if that. I mean, I did that for like 10 years. And I was not taking care of my body in terms of just nourishing it when I felt tired to lay down and sleep. No, I had gotten to the point where I was so overburdened and so overworked that I literally did not feel tired anymore. It was like I had felt a tired sensation, but I had told myself so many times that I didn't need to rest, that I couldn't rest, that I needed to suck it up and keep going, that literally my body stopped feeling tired. It would be like 12:30 at night. I would not be tired. I would wake up at 4:30 and I would be wide awake. I mean, it was just insane. Well, all of that resulted in a huge medical crisis where I had two vertebral artery dissections. You can look up that up and Google it and see what that means. But basically, because of those injuries, which I mean, those kind of injuries happen when you have an automobile accident or you do bungee jumping or extreme sports, things where you would snap your neck. Because of the high levels of stress and the lack of rest I had allowed my body to have, my body basically collapsed and was destroying itself from the inside out without me even realizing it. And the doctors had no explanation for it. They had no reason why a otherwise healthy 42-year-old woman, mom, would have these kind of symptoms and have this kind of reaction, which includes strokes and all kinds of other lovely things. But I knew because God, he said, you know why this happened. I have been talking to you about rest for a very long time. You have not been taking care of yourself. And this is your second chance. Are you going to pay attention? Are you going to listen to me? Because for years, people had been saying that to me. You're overworking yourself. You're doing way too much. But I had worn a lack of rest and my ability to endure as a badge of pride and honor. I had worn the idea of being busy as part of my identity. I had no idea what it was like to even not live like that. So that whole journey took me on this journey of really discovering, you know, I don't need 10 hacks to take a nap every day and to organize my house so it streamlined a little bit better so I can get more rest. I need to address the issues underneath. Why is it that I feel so compelled to keep going, to not stop, to somehow think that I just didn't need this replenishment? It was really a whole learning and rebuilding experience physically that took me 8 months. But it was a long, long experience that led me to learning more about my brain and about mindset and becoming a neuro coach. And that is how I began this journey. And you can hear more about that whole experience in episode 125. It's called How the Hustle Culture and My Need to Achieve Nearly Took My Life. So I'm sharing this to say that I get it. If you have felt like you want to do this, but you're like, I don't know why I can't. Like, I don't know why I make excuses. I don't know why it's not happening. I encourage you to listen to that episode and to just understand that it's a huge, huge issue for a lot of us. Many of us aren't taught how to rest. Many of us find our identity in being busy, especially if that's part of our personality. Our culture certainly doesn't promote rest. And I don't think we've figured out as a society how to balance between striving to be our best and also taking excellent care of our entire body, soul, mind, all of it. We're good at like pushing maybe health things for the short term, but these kinds of holistic ways of taking care of ourselves are what God calls us to. It's not really modeled for us. We see the results maybe of, oh, this person seems to have it all. This person seems to have this much, but we see this little snapshot of it on Instagram. We don't see that they really are dying inside, even though they have this perfect body and their family seems perfectly together, that they're killing themselves to keep up these images. We don't allow ourselves to be messy. We don't allow ourselves to really live what it means to honor a life of rest in all of these areas. So I wanted to also talk about just quickly, how do we know when it's time to rest? There can be some signs that we would have that we kind of have to learn to pay attention to our bodies and honor the signs. And that's another reason why very few of us actually recognize our need for rest and or act on that need for rest if we notice it, because so many of us are just running. We're not stopping to notice and say, gosh, this is really depleting me. Or if we do, we just don't know what to do with it. We're like, but how do I still keep functioning? I mean, I think that was me for the longest time when it's like my kids are really young. I might have kids who weren't sleeping through the night. I had a special needs son. My husband traveled 50% of the time. I was running a blog. I was doing all these other projects. I was trying to keep up all of it on my own. And there was never a end point. It was just, I had to keep going. I had to keep going. And I needed to have somebody else help me to recognize and help me to get off that track to see, you don't have to live like this. I think also noticing the signs is important, but also having regular rhythms, even during times of productivity, we need to have regular rhythms of rest so that we don't get to these extreme points. So I know you've heard a lot of that before, so I don't want to spend our time talking about that. And I will link to some other podcast episodes that I've done around rest and around finding rest, giving ourselves permission to take rest and things like that. But I did want to mention that concept and to mention that rest is biblical. You may have heard that as well, but I want you to hear a couple of these verses again, because it's super important that we know that God agrees with us. God believes in us when we think we need a rest. He made us to be creatures that have times when we're working hard and times when we're resting. He made his entire creation that way. Genesis 2:2 says, on the seventh day, God rested from his work. So even God, somehow, we don't fully understand this concept, because he's a God who's always at work, always in charge, just like he takes the day off. But somehow on day seven of creation, he rests from his work. Maybe that meant that he literally rested from creating more things. We don't really understand what that means till we get to heaven. But just that God modeled for us the idea that after we have this big output, we need to take time to refuel, to replenish. Exodus 16:23 says, he told them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow. So I believe rest is leaving room, making overflow so that we can take a break. We make overflow sometimes and we use it right up, don't we? We live to the max of our budgets. We stretch every tiny little bit that we can just to fill in all of our days of all the activities and the things. And yet we don't make room for capacity. We don't make space for margin. And yet God says, in order to do a day of rest, where you're, in this case, not baking any food, or you're not doing whatever you need to do to allow yourself to eat, rest requires some sort of preparation, and it requires having a little bit of extra so that we can physically take the rest, so that it is literally possible. We have to make it logically possible for ourselves. Sometimes we get in our own way in that. And then there's two other verses. This first one, Exodus 23, verses 10 to 12, it says, plant and harvest your crops for 6 years, but let the land be renewed and lie uncultivated during the seventh year. This is a really interesting idea. Why would God, especially in a society where they didn't go down to the local grocery store to get food. Everything that they made had to be grown, had to be by their own hands, created or traded somehow. Why would God encourage the ancient Israelites to literally let their land lie uncultivated? Why wouldn't he just say, keep producing, keep going so that you can make more money, so that you can support yourselves well, so you can, all of these things that we tell ourselves in our modern culture. But he says, let the land be renewed and lie uncultivated. And in verse 12, he says, you have 6 days a week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day, you must stop working. This gives your ox and your donkey a chance to rest. It also allows your slaves and the foreigners living among you to be refreshed. So the refreshment comes not just for us physically, but for everyone involved in all that we do. It's important. We are made to have cycles of activity and cycles of downtime. And then this is my favorite verse, Exodus 34, verse 21, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day, you must stop working, even during the seasons of plowing and harvest. This one convicts me, because I think, okay, sure, God, I can rest when I don't have anything to do, right? When I don't have all these to-dos, when I'm in the middle of this really crazy busy season, like, you really want me to rest now? How can that be? How am I supposed to make that happen? But here it says, even during the seasons of plowing and harvest, we are to make times for rest. And that means in the seasons that we have, when things are insane and busy, we really need to have these rhythms of stopping and replenishing and letting ourselves be filled up. We cannot serve well, give well, accomplish all that we're called to do if we are doing those things from an empty bucket. We just can't. We can probably push through and do them. Trust me, you're talking to somebody who did that for a very long time. But we won't do it well, and we may do it at the harm to ourselves or to other people. We're not going to produce our land, like, for example, is not going to produce the greatest, highest quality of produce or crops, like it says here, if we continually keep putting the seeds in the ground and growing in the same spot. I learned about this just recently in gardening. I have a little square foot garden in my backyard that I've talked about a little bit here on the podcast, and I am not an expert gardener, please. But I will say that I have been learning a little bit. This is our fourth season going through the, you know, planting and growing. And I live in California, so most things grow here pretty easily. I'm pretty blessed in that. And we have these boxes where we can control the soil. So the soil that's in the boxes is, you know, the perfectly calibrated soil. It's not just soil in the ground. But what I learned is that I can't plant, or I shouldn't plant, the same plants in the same spots over and over, because it will steal the nutrients from the soil for those plants. And the plants, if I put, say, for example, tomatoes in the same spot for several seasons in a row, there's no longer the nutrients that tomato plant needs inside that soil. So I either have to replace the soil and fully give it, you know, brand new soil in that box, or I have to plant something else that's going to use different nourishments or different nutrients from inside that soil. So it's been really interesting, because this is the first season I really kind of began to respect that. I noticed in my last season when I was growing tomatoes, because we have it set up so that in some of the boxes there are trellises so that the tomatoes can grow on. And so it's convenient to keep sticking the tomatoes back into that spot. But I noticed in the last one, we still had pretty vigorous plants growing and producing, but it wasn't quite as vigorous as it had been in the past. And I realized, yeah, that's probably it. So anyway, we've planted some different things this time, but I think it really speaks just in general that we don't have to feel odd or strange by needing rest, that this is how creation has been set up, that creation has been set up with this cycle of growing, blooming, and resting. We see it even in the seasons. So just to close up this topic of rest, I want to again mention that I'm going to put a link to a very excellent book on rest called Sacred Rest. It's by Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. We had her on the podcast, episode 149, and also some other podcast episodes that are highly informative and valuable on rest. There's other resources on episode 143. Episode 89 and 89A were about my own journey of giving myself permission to rest and to find resilience. So I'm going to share those here in the show notes so you can check those out and learn more about the topic of rest and how it relates to our bodies and why it's important and what it really looks like to get rest. I want to focus the bulk of our time today on what we talked about in the introduction, and that is, why don't we do it? What keeps us from doing it? This podcast is focused around mindset. So what is the mindset, the faulty mindset, the limiting beliefs that are keeping us from doing what we know is best for us? What is going on with that? I'm going to list 7 different things here. But as I'm listing these and walking through these and sharing about these, I want you to think about, first, do these relate to you? Is this something that you're like, yeah, I've been there, feel that? But are there also other things that you might personally said, you know what, this is an issue for me of why I don't do rest, honestly. And I just want us to suspend judgment, okay? Because when we look at these things, it's easy for us to go, yeah, I know, that's just what I believe. And I should believe differently and all of that. Continuing to have that response when we hear some of the mindsets and the fears behind why we don't rest is not serving us. All it's doing is keeping us stuck in the pattern, because we're just blaming ourselves and shaming ourselves. What I'm going to encourage us to do is to look at these things with kindness, with honesty, with just a scientific kind of point of view. Like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder why that's there. I wonder what that's about. Wow. That's interesting. Just kind of that perspective. Because then there's space for it to have a voice, to understand why we can begin to get to the root of it. We can begin to walk through it. So some of these things. Number one, we have a fear of resting because we have a fear of just not being able to get it all done. We think, well, if I take a break or if I rest, I mean, who's going to take care of the laundry? Who's going to take care of the dishes? Who's going to take care of the kids? Who's going to pick up the kids? All of these things. And we tend to get into this black and white mentality of like, well, if I just take a break, it's going to have to be a break that's like 4 hours long every day. And my kids aren't going to eat. They're going to starve. And, you know, no one's going to be able to pick them up. Oh, we get really extreme, don't we? We think it has to be this huge dramatic thing. And it's going to have this catastrophic events on our life. Well, of course, we don't want to do it if that's the case, because we're like, that's just not possible. I can't do that. we can still have that fear of not getting it all done. But I want to ask you a question. Even as you keep pressing in and not taking a break, do you ever get to a point where you feel like it's all done? I certainly don't. There's always 5 or 10 other things on my to-do list waiting for me when I wake up the next day. And so we have to come to this place where we have to say, I may not get it all done, but I'm never going to get it all done. I'm not. So I have to stop waiting for the idea that I'm going to get it all done in order for me to say, okay, now I can finally rest. And let's not forget that verse that we read about in Exodus 34:21, where it says, even during the seasons of plowing and harvest, even during these busy seasons of being a mom or working, whatever your calling and your place in life right now is, empty nest, managing grandkids, whatever that is, there is always an opportunity that we need to build in to get replenishment to do our job well. Do you find it hard to let go of worry? Do you struggle with feeling like you're never enough? Or maybe you're frustrated because you can't make the changes you want in your life, losing the weight, starting new habits, or growing in a certain area. Both brain science and scripture show that every action we take starts first with a thought. If we change our thoughts, we can change our results. So, what are the most effective ways to change our thoughts? According to the latest neuroscience research and timeless biblical wisdom, well, I want to give you the inside scoop at this free workshop. Sign up now at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. You'll discover why it makes sense you're stuck in toxic thought patterns. You'll debunk 3 popular myths about overcoming negative thoughts. So many women are stuck in these. And you'll learn a simple 3-step strategy to manage negative thoughts in the moment. I mean, this powerful tool alone is worth coming to the workshop. Plus, you'll get an inside look at the Christian Mindset Makeover, the only course that equips Christian women with powerful brain science and biblically based tools to break free from negative thoughts in only 9 weeks. Go now to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind to sign up for this amazing free workshop to learn how to transform your thoughts to transform your life. That's vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. I'll see you there. Okay, so fear of not being able to get it done. That's the first one. Second one, fear of looking weak and broken. Judgment by ourselves or judgment from others. This is probably the number one for me. Fear of looking weak. Fear of feeling like I failed. Why didn't I take better care of myself? Why didn't I plan for this somehow? I must have misstepped somehow if I need to rest. I must be doing something wrong. I should just be able to keep producing. God calls me to keep doing all these things. Why? I mean, what's wrong with that? You know, so there's this craziness that is in my head that I have to be very rational around and listen to and be, again, look at with loving kindness to say, what is this about of feeling weak and broken if I'm not producing? What is rest? What does rest mean that I'm broken? Where did that come from? What's that mindset about? Am I worried that others will think that I've failed? Yes, but truly for me, the issue is I think other people can do it. So why do I need to stop? That was what it was for me for those 10 to 12 years when it was the most intense. I just thought, well, there's this other mom who has 7 kids. Why can't I just make it with 4? What's wrong with me? Like, there's something wrong with me. So I encourage you to look at that concept with loving care. Number 3, fear that we're making excuses for not doing hard work. Oh, this is the other one for me. Recovering perfectionist here. So I got to say, when I get to the place where I feel like I need rest, I hear that little perfectionist voice come on me and say, yeah, you just really don't want to work hard. You just are lazy and you are trying to make excuses around why you don't want to do this, when that is not the case at all. Recognizing these moments when we need to breathe and we need to take a break is vital to our ability to keep pushing through. If we were in the middle of a marathon and somebody, we were running along, say, and we had to stop to get a break, to take a drink or to go to the bathroom or something, would we yell at ourselves or would we expect somebody to come yelling at us that, what are you doing taking a break? What are you doing going to the bathroom? What are you doing getting a drink of water? Or for me, walking. Why aren't you walking? Because I'd be walking. What is that about? We don't expect that when we're in these long endurance seasons or something like a marathon. But when it comes to our life, we think, well, we're lazy. Like, we just need to work harder. There's something wrong with us if we want to take a break. Number four, we have a fear that God won't take care of us if we take a break. Oh, friend, this goes down deep. This goes down to the trust issues in God, trusting God to provide, trusting God to still meet our needs. This is especially applicable when we think about work and we're taking a break from maybe income-producing activities because we think, well, how will God provide for us? And I know that's not a call for everyone to just be able to take a huge break from that. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying even if it's just a lessening or if it's putting down something in order to pick up more times of replenishment for yourself, it's frightening to think, I feel like I'm in control of what I'm doing and producing right now. And by giving this up, wow, that really questions or can threaten this idea of, am I able to do enough? Am I able to be enough? Will God take care of us in this, even if I'm not doing all these things? Which leads me to number five. It's the identity question. Who am I? Who am I if I step away from what I'm known for? Who am I if I walk away from all of these things? Not even suddenly walking away, just if I reduce the amount of time I'm doing them. What does that say about me? This is what I'm good at. This is what I've been doing. What is it? What does it mean? We feel a sense of pride by doing what we're doing. So we got to, again, go back to what is my foundation? What am I about? What makes me secure? These are deep questions, aren't they? But they're all the things that are rattling in our heads behind why we're running from it. Who wants to, subconsciously, our mind is like, we want to run from pain and run towards pleasure. So if we have attached our worth with being busy, if we've attached our pride with who we are and what we do, if we've made excuses, we think we're making excuses if we stop, or if we feel like we're looking weak and broken, if we think we can't get it all done and we're going to somehow, the world's going to collapse, even if it sounds laughable to speak those things out loud, if that's what the soundtracks are inside our head, we are going to sabotage that rest every single place we can get because that's what our brain is meant to do. It's meant to keep us safe. And it's like, oh, whoa, that's not safe. Not doing that. Right? So we got to recognize that. Number six, this is another one big for me. We have a fear of being bored. This sounds so weird, but it's true. Do you feel this? We have this fear of like, well, what is that? What am I going to do when I'm resting? Like, what does that look like? It feels unnecessary or just almost paralyzing because it's like all of this empty time we imagine, like, what am I going to do, stare at a wall? Like, I don't even know. Again, we have not learned what it means as a society. We haven't learned what it means to really replenish ourselves, what that looks like in everyday life, what that journey has been individually for each one of us. We haven't had a chance to explore that and really discover what that means. I encourage you to listen to episode 171 because we talked about the idea of having fun and exploring and seeing what fills us up, what lights us up, and how those things aren't bad, that they're meant to be fuel to keep us going, to keep us strong, to keep us serving well. And so we don't have to be afraid of it, but I do have to tell you that it's normal if you do feel afraid of rest. I struggle with it. Okay, if I was to give a scale, I would say on the scale of 1 to 10, when I first went through that experience of being sick, I had a forced rest. Like there's nothing I could do about that. But after about 8 or 9 months, when I physically was able to start doing a little bit again, I felt God pressing into me, like, are you going to make this part of your life? Or is this going to be like, you're going to go back to the way you were? So I had to put in rhythms of rest. And those were excruciating. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a 10, literally, for me to get rest in, to do rest. I just didn't want to. I was afraid of, it was just excruciating and boring. And there were days when I would just be like, okay, so I'm resting. Like, what does this mean? What does this look like? And that was how I approached it. So it's gotten a lot better, and I think it's gotten better because I've practiced it. I've learned, number one, that I can find things to do, that I like to have a list of ideas of general things that I can try, or things that, what if I tried this? And again, all that's come from experience. It's come from experimentation. So I have that kind of in my back pocket, and I have some general ideas of what could happen. But I personally like to leave it open and just feel, listen to God and say like, well, what do I really need right now? But it's gotten less scary. It's gotten a lot less scary because I know that when I do it, I come back so much stronger, so much better. And it's a discipline in the way that I've had to learn how to make regular exercise part of my life and enjoy it and find ways to bring in these other things like healthy eating, all these things that I've learned to find what's my path to making this work for me in a way that fills my heart and fills my soul. So if you feel that apprehension of it feels like it's going to be boring, again, that's normal because we don't know what to expect if we've never done this. And I just encourage you to just try it, just to keep showing up, keep doing it, and that it does get easier. It does become less fearful, and you do find things to do to rest, or just sometimes it's doing nothing, which is also could be scary to think about, but really it is possible to get over that hump. And then the last one is we don't see rest as valuable. Our culture, again, does not emphasize downtime as valuable. We emphasize productivity and results. We see this in all kinds of very obvious ways and not so obvious ways. The people who are making millions of dollars, the people who are achieving all of these things, we hear, well, this is, you know, that they worked hard to get this and you need to work hard. So we think, well, if I want what I want, we have to work hard to get it, which we do absolutely have to work hard to get what we want. We also have to obey the laws of nature that God created and that we have to work hard, but we also have to have downtimes like the fields that need the rest in between. We need times to replenish, to reflect, to let God fill us up, to let God use us in different ways. I love back in this verse in Exodus 23, verses 10 to 12. I didn't read this second part of verse 11, but I think it's really interesting. It says, verse 10, plant and harvest your crops for 6 years, verse 11, but let the land be renewed and lie uncultivated during the seventh year. Then let the poor among you harvest whatever grows on its own. Leave the rest for wild animals to eat. The same applies for your vineyards and olive groves. Isn't that interesting? That for 6 years, the crops that you plant, these fields have a specific purpose, and that's to feed your family, to provide as a farmer so you can trade, whatever. But on that seventh year, it provides in a different way. It takes care of the poor. Wild animals eat from it. So that this time of downtime, this time of whatever that looks like, it is still valuable. There's other purposes for it. And in our own case, we know that we emerge as stronger, more capable, more valuable humans because of it. So I'm going to challenge you. What fears do you struggle with when it comes to rest? I encourage you to see if some of these resonated with you, if they stuck with you. And if so, sit down, write some of these ideas down, and just see what comes to you in a journal or before the Lord in prayer, and ask God, that's really interesting. I want to learn more about that about myself. I want to see where that could be or what I can do to work through that. And don't shame that fear for being there. Again, don't talk yourself out of it. See it, honor it as real, acknowledge it, listen to it like you would a best friend. It's a sign of something inside of you. It's not bad. And then discern what's true and what's not true about that. You can go through that process and decide, what are you going to believe? How am I going to believe moving forward? I mean, I may have had some baggage around this, or I may be worried about this or scared about this, but how do I want to act? What do I want to do? And then I encourage you also, take the first step towards some sort of rest. You know, I've rarely met someone who says, I am so rested and filled up. When was the last time you met someone who said that? The few people that I have met who have said that have come from extended times of rest, number one. And number two, don't stay that way, because right away, again, they're human. Their battery gets depleted too, and they're right back in the thick of it again. So they have to maintain that. It's not that they get the rest and then they're done for the rest of their life. We need to take that first step. You need to take responsibility for this in your life. Like we said in the last episode, no one's going to come and tell you that you have to take care of your anxiety or your stress on your own. No one's going to do that work for you. Someone might notice that's going on, but no one can do that work for you but you. You have to take responsibility for your mental health and for your rest levels. COVID gave a lot of us a chance to unplug and reassess what's important. So what will you do for the long haul, to be full, to be replenished, and to be your best self. I want you to get real about the excuses and the fears. I want you to honor them. I want you to take the first steps towards change. Baby steps. Okay, so here's my announcement. Maybe you could see this coming, but I am going to be taking a sabbatical rest from producing podcast episodes, from being on social media in July and August of 2022. I'm not sure when you're listening to this episode, but if you are following every week, you'll notice that during July and August, there will not be any podcast episodes that are new. Now, I have recognized there's been a lot of big output in the past year or two for me. And honestly, it's starting to take a toll on me. I'm noticing it. And I don't want to get to a place where I was, and I'm definitely not there, but I don't want to ever get to a place where I was 5 years ago when I got sick. But I have had two major projects, the Christian Mindset Makeover and the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit. Those have come out in the last, 9 months. I put together a book proposal. I'm working through that journey of becoming a traditionally published author and pursuing my dream to write this book. I mean, I'm in the middle of all of that right now. I'm doing some advanced training for some additional coaching certifications. I've coached dozens of clients one-on-one in the last few years. My family and personal life, we lost my mother-in-law last fall. We walked through the tail end of our 15-month unemployment journey. We walked through two very difficult seasons with two of our teens around their own mental health. We had another child graduate and move out, which that was a whole nother journey for me. I have two kids graduating in a few weeks, one of them from high school, and that's bringing up all these emotions in me. And I had several little minor health things. And I was talking about all of this with my coach, and she just confirmed what I was already feeling in my soul. And she said, "When was the last time you had a proper rest?" And I thought, 5 years ago when I was in the hospital. And I thought, I have had rhythms of rest, but have I had an extended time to just stop and let God speak? Let God fill me up. I always want to serve well. I don't want to serve just to keep going and just to serve from the bottom of the can, so to speak. I want to serve from the overflow, because that is what God calls us to do. I'm greatly reducing my hours this summer so I can focus on letting the fields lay bare so that God can replenish the soil in my heart. So I will be doing a few webinars. If you're signing up for some for the Christian Mindset Makeover or the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit, you'll notice that there are a few of those still available. And I will be serving those of you in those communities still on certain days of the week. But overall, podcast episodes and social media, I will not be doing that. So if you feel this call to rest too, I would challenge you to seriously consider these excuses not to rest and take action. And in fact, if you do decide to take a step towards rest, big or small, will you reach out on Instagram and let me know? I would love to cheer you on in your rest journey. During this time, I would encourage you to continue growing and seeking in the area of mindset in a few ways. So first, like I said, the Christian Mindset Makeover and the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit are still going to be open. They're still going to be available. It's a great time of year to get that deeper work done. It's summertime. A lot of us have kids in school that are off. You might have a little bit extra time to really think about, oh my gosh, how can I prepare myself for all that's going on and what will be coming up in the fall? And number two, I'm going to link to the show notes to several pages where I have some great resources on general mindset topics, podcast episodes, books, et cetera, so you can keep learning. I want you to keep learning through this time. This is episode 172. We have 171 other episodes, friend, that you can go back and look through and learn from, and I can encourage you in. So the power of technology is I will still be there on the podcast episodes, even though I will be off letting God replenish me. And then I would love your prayers. I would love your prayers for replenishment and for God to just do whatever work He needs to do in me to continue to help me serve well. And I also want you to know that I will be back. In the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. That first Monday in September, we will have the next podcast episode. And I have to tell you, I have been in the last few weeks interviewing some incredible guests that we won't hear their episodes until the fall, but they are fabulous, fabulous topics, top name people, incredible wisdom. I cannot wait. Lots of good stuff coming up in the fall. So check out all of those older episodes. Check out the Christian Mindset Makeover, the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit. Continue to keep digging into these topics. And I will see you back here in September. Take good care of yourself. Bye-bye for now, friend. Thanks for joining me today. Please go to ChristianMindsetCoachPodcast.com and click on podcast in the menu to get the full show notes and more information on the resources that we talked about. And don't forget to subscribe and to leave a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast player. Thanks so much in advance. I'll see you back here for the next episode.